Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
So let's get right into it. Those of you that have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'm going to be teaching from the subject, the power of decision. And I'm using as a subtopic, becoming single-minded on God's word. We don't have a power problem. You know, Lord, send your power. Lord, send your power. God, we need power to, you know, against the devil. Lord, we need power to heal, power to... No. The power got in here on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came and never left. So the power of God is here. The power is here to support the word of God when you make a decision to act on it. So we don't have a power problem. We need we have a decision problem. And that's why I want to talk about the power of decision. And then use as a subtopic becoming single-minded on God's word. You don't realize that God did not make us, some type of robot. We have a will. He said in Deuteronomy 30:19, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life to both thou and thy seed after thee may live. Notice we have a choice. It's up to you and I. You can choose life or you can choose death. You can choose healing or you can choose sickness and disease. That's the power of decision. God made us, in a sense, a free will being. Amen. He's not going to make you get saved tonight. You have to choose to be saved. But notice when you and I did choose to be saved, whether you was bound by drugs, alcohol, dope, some type of satanic oppression, or some other type of bondage, all the devils in hell could not stop you from being born again when you decided to get saved. When you prayed Romans 10:9, Father, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life and believe in my heart that God raised me from the dead. And I believe that God has raised you from the dead and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I got born again in 1974. No drug, no alcohol, no pills. None of those things that I was addicted to at that point could hold me bound because the power of my decision to change my life. That's what I want to talk about. Then once you make a decision to serve God, be single-minded on the word of God. Don't be double-minded. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Kings. And let's look at chapter 18. We're going to read something here about Elijah, how he's challenging Baal and all of his prophets. And he starts in verse 17. He says, and it came to pass that when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, oh, thou art he that troubled Israel. And he answered, said, no, I've not troubled Israel, but thou and thy your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast fallen Baal. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all of Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered all the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto the people, and he said, how long ought ye between two opinions? In other words, they were double-minded. Should I serve Baal or should I serve God? Notice he put them to the test. In other words, make a decision. How long ought ye between two opinions? Or you could say two minds. Huh? He says, between two opinions, that the Lord God, if he be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Now watch the response. And the people answered him not a word. Interesting. The people didn't say Baal or God. In other words, they was not decisive. They didn't want to make a decision. I want to get right to the point. Because if you can't answer that question, that means they're still undecided. And we're talking about the power of decision. They weren't sure whether it was profitable to serve God or whether it was more advantageous to serve Baal, a false god. They answered him not a word. Let's get right to the point. Why? Well, I want to answer that with my first statement. A true decision will always translate into action and energy. Notice they didn't take action. They didn't say anything. They didn't do anything. It's almost like a lot of people love to live in fantasy. One of these days, I'm going to get out of debt. One of these days, you know what? I'm going to lose this weight. I'm going to drop these 20, 30 pounds. One of these days, they say that, but if it's a true decision, it's got to translate into action and energy. In other words, your actions got to change. You got to get out there and start exercising. Huh? If you're going to, do something, accomplish something, start a business job, at some point you got to start it. There are a lot of people who do a lot of talking, but it never translates into energy. I see a lot of men many times, and I'm not condemning anyone tonight. If you're live streaming, I want you to know that God loves you regardless whether you're shacking, whether you're married, or whether you're living together or not. That's no issue with me. That's between you and the Lord. If you're comfortable doing that, fine. But there are a lot of women who, they want to get married, but the man don't simply because he don't want to repeat his vows. Because he know when he stand before a church or audience or for a congregation and say, I promise and I commit to thee to love thee from now until, I die, he's committed. He don't want to make a commitment. He don't want to say nothing. They didn't answer him a word. Now, if you look at 1 Samuel 2:3, interesting. Talk no more. You can talk all day about what you're going to do, and Lord, starting, 2023, I'm going to start tithing correctly, Lord. I starting 2023, I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to quit gossiping. We can talk all day, but it's got to translate into action. Decision always translate into action and energy. And lazy people don't want to make a decision because they don't want to change their way. They don't want to change their direction. Talk no more. He says, so very proudly, let not arrogance go out from your mouth. For the Lord thy God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. At some point in your life, God is saying, I hear what you're saying, but I also see what you're doing. And your audio don't match your video. I'm just going to get plain tonight. And what? They don't want to make a decision. Because once you make a decision, when I made a decision to change my life, it had to translate to action and energy. I left the crowd. I left my drug buddies. I left that. I got off the streets. I came home. Praise God. I repented to my mom. My actions changed. Not just my talk. Praise God. Everybody heard Ronald did. Then got saved. They came to my house. And so because I made a decision. And here, Baal is trying to challenge the people. And yet, notice they didn't realize they had the power to change their life. The Bible said, he said, how long walk you between these two minds, two opinions? They answered him not a word. Because they knew if they said, we're going to follow God, immediately their actions got to change. Their actions got to line up. And there are a lot of people out there this evening. You want to lose the weight. You want to start a business. You want to, we have all of these different things. You want to change your life. I'm talking to people that I might even be in a backslidden condition. And you've been saying, I'm going to get back in church. I kind of got out during the pandemic. It's basically over now. But, I used to come to church. I used to read my Bible. Well, let me tell you, you still have the power to change. Within your, no devil in hell can't stop you from get back. You can be here Sunday morning if you decide to. It's just going to have to translate into action. Amen. You have to show up. Praise God. You can come out of debt if you decide to. It's just going to take the action of discipline yourself. Quit abusing credit card. You can change your life. Any part of your life. You lose the weight. It's just going to translate in action. You're going to have to change your diet. You're going to have to start exercising. See, you got to make a decision. And once you choose life or choose healing, no devil in hell can stop. That's the power of choice. Praise God. You're more powerful than you think. What has happened, you've lost the will to do it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire cometh, It's a tree of life. There are a lot of people sick and tired because they've lost their desire. Because they tried before. Or they tried to come out of that. Or they established a business that didn't work. And because of failure, they've lost their desire. But if you get your will back in line with the word, Jesus said, if you abide in me, that means to live, continue, dwell in, settle down in, and let my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done. When your will is lined up with God's will, which is his word, that's when you become powerful, because when you act on God's word, it releases the power to change you. Praise God. So you're more powerful than you think. All you got to do is rise. Praise God. Pick yourself up, get back on the saddle and say, my life is not over. I might have missed it. I might have fell down, but I don't have to stay down. Praise God. But it all starts with decision, and then be single-minded that I'm going to serve God. Indecision, though, notice this. It's no decision. They didn't want to make a decision. How long are you between two opinions? If you're going to serve Baal and follow Jezebel, serve him. Just say it and do it. If you're going to serve God and serve God, then just say it and do it. But the Bible says they answered him not a word. Why? Indecision is no decision. You cannot serve two masters. You must choose God. Indecision, ain't no such thing as straddling the fence. Matter of fact, I got a story about that. There was a young man. He had a dream. And all of a sudden, he was on this fence. And on one side, there was all these demonic spirits, Satan, imps, demons, that was trying to influence him to come on this side. And of course, on the other side, there was God and all of his angels. And God just simply, he won't force you to do anything. He gave him an invitation. He was in between. He was what we call straddling on the fence. And yet, he never made a decision. And God and all of his angels, after a while, they just kind of disappeared. And it seemed like Satan just kind of faded in the background. Here he is straddling the fence in between two. Notice, he laid it, notice later on that Satan came out of the darkness and said, come on, son, come with me. And he said, wait a minute. He said, I might didn't make a decision. I might didn't choose God, but I sure ain't stupid enough to follow you. And the devil spoke to him and said, I own the fence. I own the fence. In other words, you didn't make a decision and you was on the fence. I own the fence. So indecision is no decision. He was still going to hell. So you're going to have to make a decision. There's no such thing as straddling the fence. Luke 16, 13 says this. No servant is able to serve two masters. How long ought you between two masters? Now that word in the Greek, masters, is a very interesting word. It literally means controllers. You can't be controlled by God and controlled by the devil. You can't serve two controllers. He says, either you're going to hate one and love the other, or stand by one and be devoted to one and despise the other, but you cannot serve God and mammon. Watch this, not just God and mammon, riches, or anything you trust in and which you rely on more than God. You can't serve. So, I mean, you know what? You have to make a decision that I'm going to trust God for my healing. I'm going to trust God for my finances. I'm going to trust God for my life. I'm going to yield myself to God and let him take control and become my master. So, but you can't do them both. You got to make a decision. That's the power decision. Now, that's with anything in life. Got to make a decision to come out of debt. People that have gotten saved and they've accepted Jesus. You got to make a decision, praise God, to walk in love. You got to make a decision to forgive. The power is in anything God has already spoken. When you act on it and make a decision, I'm going to do that, that's what releases the power to change your life. Like I said, it's not a decision problem. There's a power problem. There's a decision problem. People don't want to make a decision. That's why you don't like people. That's why a lot of people don't like to say publicly, you know, I'm committed, or a man don't want to stand up publicly and speak vows to a lady because he's not ready to change. He likes the idea of shacking. I mean, I got my ice cream and my cake. I'm getting all the benefits of marriage with no commitment. But when you stand up and you speak vows, words, now you're on record that I am committed to this woman and this woman only the rest of my life. So that means you got to change. Any decision will have to translate into action. Now look at Joel chapter 3. Let me have just a tad more volume. Joel chapter 3, either from here or the monitors, either one. Just a tad. All right, Joel chapter 3, I want you to look at something because there are a lot of people that are sitting at home and maybe they've got offended, maybe they got hurt, maybe they feel abandoned and they want to change. They want to do, and nothing is happening. They're thinking about it, but it's not translated into action. And we're talking about becoming single-minded on the word of God. And God has put in your hands the power to change anything you want in your life. Praise God. You're more powerful than you think when you line your will up with the word, which is the will of God. Look at Joel chapter 3, the book of Joel. And we're going to look at verse 9 and verse 14. Joel 3, verse 9 and verse 14. Verse 9 says this: proclaim this among the Gentiles. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near and let them come up. Now, we're in wartime. There are a lot of people that realize that, hey, there's no such thing as neutral. There is, in wartime, there is no demilitarized zone where that it's no fighting here. It's just kind of peace here. No, you either got to be with the enemy or you're against the enemy. And we're in war. The weapons of our warfare are not cotton. And Satanists has come to kill, steal, and to destroy. And you've got to make a decision whether I'm going to resist the enemy or whether I'm going to just lay down and let the enemy destroy me. Notice these were mighty men at sleep at wartime. Huh? Mighty men at sleep. The devil, you know, men of God want to destroy your family. They want to destroy your home. You don't need to be somewhere back asleep when the enemy done bust your door down, you know, taking your food, stealing all your goods, killing your children, trying to rape your wife, and you still sleep at a time of war. And that's what the enemy is. He knows he has but a short time, and he's come against the church. And so we got to awake out of old Zion and put on our strength. But notice you got to make a decision. And look at verse 14. He says, multitudes and multitudes, many people, watch this, are in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. I want you to catch what he's saying. Because you haven't made a decision, notice it calls you to be in a valley. That's why people are depressed. That's why people are heartbroken. That's why people are feel abandoned. Because something happened in their life and they want to get up, they want to pick, but they're in the valley of decision. And when you're in a valley, in order for there to be a valley, that means there's got to be mountains on each side. Look at those deaths. Look at that sickness and disease. Look, you see, you're in a valley and you look at all of these mountains and you want to come out, but you got to make a decision. That's the first step of deliverance. When you're down in a valley, I don't have to stay down here. He said that God is just as near as you make a decision. When I was down in the valley, drugs, alcohol, life torn up, sleeping on tombstone, living under a bridge, I was in the valley. And I thought my life was over, that there was no hope for me. And there was mountains all around me, and Satan kept me down in the valley. But when I made a decision in the valley, God was right there in the valley with me. He said, the Lord is near in the valley of the sin. God is right there with you tonight. You want to come out of that? You want to be healed? You got a negative doctor report? Oh, you got to make a decision. Praise God, I ain't going to die here. I will live and declare the goodness of the Lord. You remember we talked about it, been talking about it recently here. Those four lepers, why sit we here till we die? They was in the valley. They said, I'm going to rise. And when they made a decision to pick themselves up, God got involved and supernaturally made it sound like an army of a million people. And the Bible says all the enemy ran and they dropped their goods and their silver and their garment. And they ran because God made it sound like an army of a million, because four lepers decided, I'm not going to sit here in the valley. They made a decision. That's the power, praise God, of the decision. Let me tell you, you can come out of anything tonight. I don't know what you're going through, but it starts with the decision. The prodigal son, yeah, you might have missed it. Yeah, you got in disobedience. Maybe even in a backslidden condition. You like the prodigal son, give me my inheritance. And went out there and wasted it on riotous living and women and drugs and alcohol until he lost everything he had and found himself slopping hogs. He was in a valley. You might be in a valley tonight, but just because you're in a valley don't mean that God won't get down there in which the Lord is just as near right now in that home. Wherever you're listening to this from, waiting on you to make a decision. When he came to himself and said, I will arise, pick myself up, God got involved and God began to move in his life, and restoration came. As he moved toward his father's house, God can restore you. Go get the fatted calf. Praise God. Go get the robe. Go get the covenant ring. Put it on. Restoration. But as long as he stayed in the valley, nothing would happen. God is near to you. Matter of fact, that's when some people think when they're in the valley, the Lord has forsaken them. No, he's waiting on you to make a decision to rise and be healed. Rise, praise God. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'll give you ashes for your mourning. Quit mourning. And I'll give you the oil of joy for mourning, and I'll give you beauty for your ashes. But you can't stay there. See, a lot of people don't like to make decisions because they like waddling in the valley. They want a pity party. There are some people who love for you to pity them, but pity don't change you. Pity don't get you healed. Pity don't get you out of that. God is waiting on you to make a decision here tonight. I don't care who you are. Maybe the decision, just get back in church because you've been disappointed. Maybe, you know, someone hurt you. You were, got offended. I don't know. But I do know the first step toward any deliverance is a decision. That's what we're talking about, the power of decision here. When you decide to act on God's word, that's when things change. So decision is the first step to overcoming or coming out of anything. And notice I put the valley. God is just as near, man. You know, the devil told me God didn't love me. My mom and everyone was ashamed of me because I had gone out. And, you know, my brother at that time was doing good in school. And I seemed like I was the prodigal son. He, you know, he was going to Carolina. You know, he got his law license. He became a lawyer and a judge. And look at Ronnie, he out there. You know, I felt like I was a valley. And the devil was lying to me. But I made a decision. You know I'm better than this. I think I'm going to come out. And the first step to overcoming drugs, alcohol, divorce, whatever you're going through. I don't care what you, if you lost your home and you said, well, hey, you might feel it about the first step coming out of the valley. It's making a decision. It's the first step. Look at what Job declared here. Now, we're talking about Job. Remember, Job lost everything. House, home. His children all died. Family, the house destroyed. Crops, cattle, which represented his wealth, all his land, was gone. Just like that, the devil came in and destroyed it all. You talking about being in the valley? Even his health, he was scratching his sores. But notice what Job is saying. Job is preaching to you tonight. Job said, you shall first decide. That's the first step. When Job said, you know what? The Bible says, I think it's Job 42, about verse 10, said Job decided to quit scratching his sores. I'm going to pray for my friends who saying God did this. And when he prayed for them, the Bible says God turned his captivity. God can turn your captivity. God can turn your health around. He can turn your children around. But it starts with the decision. Thou shalt first decide, then decree a thing. Notice they didn't answer him a word. You got to speak and say, I'm going to pick myself up. If God be for me, who can be against me? I may be down, but I'm not out. They begin to decree a thing, say what God says, and it shall be established under you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your way. Good God Almighty, glory be to God. to rise up and come out of anything. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what happened during the pandemic. I don't know who died, or I don't know why you're depressed, or what job you lost, or what maybe you've gone through divorce. I don't know what happened in your life. But I do know this. I do know that if you first decide, the Lord is right there in the valley of decision. And can't no devil in hell keep you down when you decide to pick yourself up. Job, praise God, was blessed with double for all of his trouble. Because instead of standing in a pity party, he decided, my life is not over. And the Bible says in Job, I think 42 verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. And when he turned his captivity, he gave him twice as he had before. He got more children. Everybody began to bring him money. He got a new house. He was already started out as the richest man in the East. He was blessed with double at the end of that because of the power of decision. So I don't know what you're going through this evening, but I know God is waiting on you. Amen. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Now, God is waiting on you to make a decision to arise and pick yourself up, be healed, be delivered, be set free. Get back in church, praise God. Get back in here on Sunday morning. That's why God got you streaming tonight, because he knew you needed to hear this message. You could come out of anything, praise God. The first step is making a decision. I'm going back to church. Quit making excuses. I ain't got nothing to wear. I ain't got nowhere. Oh, man, you used to get to the drug house. You used to find a way to go out and party. Let me tell you something. Make a decision, praise God. And God, as you come forth and get back in church, get in the live church, God will begin to restore everything that the canker worm, the palmer worm, the devil himself has stolen, because God is a God of restoration. But it starts with decision. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so you made up your mind. No more two opinions. Now you got to keep your mind made up. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Praise God. All deliverance starts with the decision that I'm going to act on God's word. Something. Every time God gave a word in a crisis, then deliverance started. The other lepers, not the ones in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priest. They made a decision. Now, you know what? We ain't got nothing to lose. I mean, like the ones in the Old Testament, if they kill us, they kill us. I preached about courage on Sunday. That's what courage is, acting on God in spite of fear. Don't you know the devil said, they gonna stone y'all before y'all get to the gate. But they had enough courage to take a word from God and begin to act on it. And as they went, that probably people cried out, unclean, unclean. Could have been throwing rocks while they was moving toward that gate, because they were outside the city. But somewhere the power of God, bam, hit them, because they meant, and they were made whole. They were cleansed. Hallelujah. Every deliverance always started when someone took a word from God and acted on it. Peter's loading down, professional fisherman. Fished all night, hadn't caught anything. He's washing his net, putting up, he's tired, wore out. I mean, haven't been dragging them heavy net. And then here come Jesus in the middle of the day, said, let's go fishing. He said, no, Lord, you know, I mean, it's daytime. This is the Sea of Galilee. We throw the nets down. They're going to see the nets. And, you know, we toil all night. We didn't take nothing. Why don't you just stick to preaching? Let me stick to fishing. He said, but nevertheless, I know it's crazy. At your word, he acted on it. He made a decision to obey God. Bam, you know the rest of it. A net breaking, boat sinking low. Call all of his partners. God restored him. And I'm trying to say, you got to do something. The devil wants you to just stay offended, hurt, don't make a decision at all. But anytime you act on God's word, it releases the power to bring to pass everything that he has promised you. Now, let's look at James chapter 1 from the New Testament. We're talking about, as a subtopic, becoming single-minded. Once you make a decision, because let me tell you something right now. I've been trying to save this. But that's what the enemy is after. He's after our minds. You got to take your mind back. Because whoever control your mind will control your life. The devil knows this. Whoever controls your mind will control your life. As a man thinketh, so is he. And Satan has made a play on this generation. Watch this. Not just our young people, our old people and our young people. Robbing them of their minds. Trying to steal and control their minds. With the old people, he's using Alzheimer's and dementia, which is a terrible thing. With the young people, he's using bipolar and sexual confusion. And people don't know who they are, what they are, and old people don't know. But notice once he controls the mind, he controls the person. But tonight you can snatch your mind back from the devil and say, no, in the name of Jesus, praise God. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I'm going to think sound. A sound mind holds to the word of God. My memory will be strong all the days of my life. And I'm not going to be up one day down. You see the minds of our young people darkened through darkness and drugs and TikTok and this and that and tweeting and Instagram and all this social media stuff. I'm talking about digital distractions and just taking their mind. Everybody's mind is gone. But I want you to know God is moving and he's taking the minds of those people back. Once you make a decision, you know what? I'm not going to obey the enemy. I'm going to be single-minded on God. It starts. It starts with a decision. So I want you to realize how empowered you are there. You don't have to feel help. Notice the Lord, multitudes of multitudes. There are many people out there tonight sitting in the valley of the shade. But the Lord is in the valley of the shade. There's someone in the valley waiting on you. Pick yourself up. I believe that's why I'm teaching this tonight. Praise God. We want to see you back in church. Now, look at James chapter 1. And let's look at verse 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. I don't know what wisdom you need, but I do know that I preached on strength, wisdom, encouraging. If you ask God, he'll give you the wisdom. Notice this is right in the middle of trials and tests. He was talking about count it all joy when you fall into different trials and tests, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work in patience. Let patience have a perfect work. You'll come out perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, what you need wisdom about? How do I come out of it? How do I get out of debt? How do I deal with this finance? How do I deal with this job situation? He said, ask of God. He give it liberally and upbraid. To upbraid means to find fault. Your sin, your shortcomings will not stop you from giving, stop God from giving you his wisdom. He said, but, he says, let him ask of God, give it liberally, let it shall be given him. But, notice this, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable, not in some, not in many, but in all his ways. A double-minded man, a man with two minds, he can't make a decision. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to start coming to church until pressure comes. Then he goes back because he's double-minded. Thank God I'm going to act on the word. I believe I'm healed. I'm going to rise and be, oh, the pain. No, I'm still sick. Maybe I better. God can't receive from God because he won't stay long enough on what God said for it to get to him. He's sowing mingled seed. Half the time he's trying to believe God. Half the time he believes with his flesh. Half the time he make a decision. Now I'm going to do this. Next thing you make a decision, you know, that's why. What you call was trying to get them, Elijah, make a decision. You can't have two opinions. Can't be double-minded. Make a decision. And here he says, if you have wisdom, go ask of God, you lack it. He'll give it to you. But ask in faith, nothing wavering, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Let's look at this from the Amplified. Let's unpack it a little. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally, ungrudgingly, without reproach and fault finding, and it shall be given. God says you need wisdom, I'll give it to you. Only he must act, be in faith. When he acts, no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown hither and thither. You've seen waves of the sea back and forth, tossed by the wind, and that's by every wind of doctrine. That's why a lot of people are unstable. They've been running around. They was in church, getting good teaching, but you get church, you get hurt, get offended. Now you're under every wind of doctrine. This church and that church. And God is saying, he wants you to quit being unstable. Get back in church. Get back under the teaching. Watch this. For truly, let not such a person imagine he shall receive anything that he asks from God. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible. He can't stay in faith. He can't stay on the word long enough. God's trying to get it to him. For he being a man, watch this, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute. He is unstable, unreliable, uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. He can't make a decision. Well, I think I'm going to act on the word of God and go to church this Sunday. But then all of a sudden he feels sick or he feels, you know, depressed. Well, now he switches. He's being controlled. A double-minded man is only controlled by the word of God, not what he feels, not what he... Listen, that's why the Bible tells us, and this is what Romans chapter 12 tells us. It tells us the first thing we should do is, I beseech you, brothers, verse 1, 2, and 3, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Decide to give your life to God, your body to God. And he said, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the next thing he tell you to do. He says, and don't think like the world. Give your body as a living sacrifice and be ye transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, our mind before we got saved was taught to lie, cheat, steal. It was taught doubt, fear, unbelief, because all we fed on was television, newspaper, cardinal knowledge. That's why God never wanted Adam to know anything except, he said, don't eat of the tree of the good and not. All I want you to know is good. All I want you to know is my word. And we became carnal minded. So when we get born again, the first thing we got to do is become single minded. We got to go and let the word of God wash our thinking, wash all that carnality out of us. That's what coming to church is about. That God is cleansing the church by the washing of the water of the word. And then you get the word, you learn how God thinks, what God feels, and you line up your thinking with God thinking. He said, but when a man is double-minded, he's uncertain. That's why the devil can defeat anyone like that. All he's got to do is attack his soul. He'll change, make him feel sick. He'll say he's sick, make him feel offended. You can't be a man of two minds and think you're going to receive from God. We receive by faith. That's why I said, how you receive by faith? Let's don't get mystical. By the word. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word. Get that word. The word says I'm healed. I don't care how I feel. I've decided I'm going to live and not die. You make your feelings and all your thoughts submit to the word of God. We'll get more into that. Casting down thoughts and imagination. But you can't do that until you renew your mind. That's what coming to church is all about. So start with the decision. Here God is telling you and I that he's looking for single-minded men and women. Hallelujah. That decide, you know, once I'm going to serve God, once I'm going to come out of debt, I don't care what it takes. I remember when I decided that when God called me into the ministry, I made a decision that I was going to do it the way God said, debt-free. And everyone in hell told me that it couldn't be done. Now, does that mean we never borrowed money? No, we went to the bank. We just didn't borrow all this unrealistic money and put ourselves in a deep hole. We believed in for a lot, paid it down. And then as we got more money, we took more money than our payments and put it on our principal. We did that for year after year after year until the day came that we owe no man nothing but the love. We was able to cancel that debt, but I had to make a decision way back years ago. The decision will translate into action. Then I lined my actions up and kept preaching debt cancellation and kept preaching that you will be the head and not the tail, the lender and not the bar. And I based my decision on the word of God. And once I did that, then it translated into actions. And I'm telling you, you can change anything. You can be healed. You can come out of debt. Praise God. You just got to decide to. You can decide in the name of Jesus, devil, you're not having my kids. How you do that? Go to the word of God. Find the promise. Huh? Isaiah 54:13. Great shall be the peace of my children. They're going to do the will of God. All right? Now I'm renew my mind to that. This is how you make a decision. Devil, you ain't have my kid. Oh, Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I'm taking authority over my house. Oh, wait a minute. Pastor's preaching Sunday about Joshua. There's something else Joshua answered me in my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Choose ye this day. I made the decision. Not just for me. My house is not going to hell. Now what's happening? Your will is being lined up with God's will. You're deciding. And he said thou shalt decide and decree a thing. Now I'm speaking it. And God will get involved and cause the light of his favor. Them angels are going working on your kid, working on your money, hearkening to the voice of the word. But it all started with a decision. Then I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I think. I don't care what, if it's outside of what God says, I refuse to be double-minded. I'm going to be single-minded on the word of God. Amen. That's how this thing works, praise God. So listen to this statement. A single-minded man. Focus on just one thing, and that's God's word. He's single-minded. He's not a man of two minds. He's single-minded. A single-minded man is controlled by the word of God. I remember, as I said, when I decided that we were going to do this ministry debt-free, don't think there wasn't temptations. Don't think it wasn't times I said, my God, listen, Satan gonna challenge you all the way, but that's where you got to cast down thoughts and bring your mind. This is why your soul, your mind needs an anchor. Many times, you know, by stripes you're healed. I'm going to walk in him. I'm going to be healed. And then pain and symptoms hit your body. And before you know it, you're thinking, begin to, well, you know, why is this pain there? Before you know it, you done went 2 minutes, then an hour, and 2 hours, and you're drifting away from the promises of God. That's why you need the word. No, I'm healed. I bring my mind back over to the anchor, which is the word of God. I anchor my soul. No, I'm not going to borrow it. I'm going to pay this thing off. I don't care how much pressure comes. Because Satan is going to try to get you to drift. But that's why your soul needs an anchor, which is the word of God. It pulls you back from unbelief, back to the promises of God. That's being single-minded. So single-minded man. Praise God. The only thing that he's concerned about is his focus is on what God says. Luke 10:38-42. Now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received them in the house. And she said that it had a sister who was called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and did what? Heard the word. Notice, now listen, we need a balance of Mary and Martha. There's a time to clean up. There's a time to cook fish, but there's a time to come to church, sit at his feet, and hear the word. You know how you sit at Jesus' feet now? By sitting at the feet of the one that God gave you, your pastor. How can you hear without a preacher? How can a preacher something be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. I'm the sent one. And what the devil wants you to do is get caught up with problems and bills and depression and you in the valley. God is waiting on you to make a decision to get back in church. Yeah, streaming is good, but sit at the feet. Get on this live and on it. She chose to sit at his feet, and she heard the word. She's going to be single-minded. But Martha was coming about with much serving, and it came to him and said, Lord, does not y'all care that my sister, she done left me to serve all this chicken, and I got to put all this flour on this fish, and I'm smelling like croaker, and she just sitting there, and she bid her that she come help me. Jesus answered and said in there, Martha, 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 you are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing, focus, one thing. You know, many times when we're running around trying to, you know, pay a bill and do this and worried about our kids and how I'm going to get groceries and worried thought about what we're going to put on, all the time I'm preaching it tonight. One thing, if you focus on the Word of God, that don't mean that those things are not real needs. It just means that God is preaching an answer to your need. A single-minded man, his focus, a single-minded woman, is on the Word of God. One thing is needful. Notice, we've been talking about the power of decision. Here it is. And Mary has chosen. She decided. You can choose to run around, get two extra jobs, and stay out of church. You can choose to run to the doctor and get medicine and all that. Or you can choose to say, you know what, I'm going to be single-minded. I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to lock into this word. I'm going to put it before my eyes. I'm going to do what the book of Proverbs said. I'm going to let it not depart from my eyes. I'm going to keep it in my ears. I'm going to keep it in my mouth, because it's life and medicine, those that find it. This is a decision. She's chosen the good part. Which shall not be taken away from her? Why can't it be taken away? Because the enemy came to steal the word with the cares of this world, but she wasn't worried and overly occupied about, and the devil couldn't steal it out of her heart no more than he can steal it out of your heart. But you got to make a decision. Did I answer this in the Amplified? No. I just needed King James. So here, she said, Mary, she's chosen the good part. Listen to this statement. A single-minded man and woman never has a plan B. Yeah, but what if I don't get my healing? What if I apply for that job and I don't get it? What if I sign for that 30-year mortgage, that house I know to get, and I get laid off? See, they're already planning for failure. When you're single-minded on God's word, there is no plan B. He never prepares for failure. I talked about this on Sunday, Joshua 1, verse 5. Talking about someone preparing for failure. Here's the guy that had split the Red Sea. Here's the guy that had called all types of miracles, stood before Pharaoh, said, let my people go. And the devil, he had to let them go. God did miracle after miracle, brought water out of the rock. God, my God fed them with manna from heaven. And he had just watched miracle upon miracle. Watched the Red Sea split, Joshua. And all the whales and all of these and other mammals and animals. And dolphins. And I'm talking about moving and walked across dry ground. And now he's responsible for following him. But notice what God told him. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Do not prepare for failure. Only be thou strong. Be thou very courageous. Hallelujah. You're going to see the giants. You're going to see the Jericho. You're going to see the Jordan. Don't let your heart faint. Be of good courage. Act on the word in spite of the presence of fear, because I will not fail thee. God is with you tonight. He's saying the same thing. If you'll be single-minded on the word of God, God is no respecter person. God watches over his word to perform it. He said the same way I didn't fail Joshua. He said, I won't fail you if you'll be single-minded on the word of God. Amen. So a single-minded man, he never prepares for failure. The devil tried to put every type of image in my mind, said, you're going to go breaking ground out there. Talking about three buildings, you ain't going to get the first one done. You're going to get out there, and you just like all them other pastors, you're going to put up a little bit of bricks, and you ain't going to be able to pay for it, and grass going to grow up over it, and you're going to be a folly in the whole triad. They're going to say, look at Pastor there. He started to build, but he couldn't finish. Now, God says, I will not fail thee. And I don't know what lie the enemy is speaking to you about, but God is waiting on you to make a decision and then be single-minded on his word. He will not fail you. If God is giving you that house, God, don't sign for it. If God is giving you an increase, or God is giving you, if you leave this job and start doing it and move that other department that's paying more money, well, what if you don't know how to run that computer? God will not fail you. Don't let fear stop you from entering into everything that God has promised for you. God will not fail. When you're single-minded on God's word, I don't prepare for failure. The key is, what did God tell you to do? Hallelujah. God told Peter, get out of the boat and walk. He didn't tell James that. He didn't tell John that. So Peter, there again, here we go. He's acting on the word courage. He's acting on the word of God. He's single-minded on the word come. So he gets out of the boat, come, come. Because he's not walking on the water, he's walking on the word. God ain't going to fail him. He won't fail you, anything he said. Now what happened, the Bible says, and seeing the wind boisterous, he got his eyes off Jesus. He lost his focus. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And notice God was right there immediately to grab his hand and pull him up. Even if you fail, just the fact that you attempted to walk out on what God says, he'll be right there. He will not let you fail. He will not let you go under. So I don't know who I'm speaking to. I don't know what God has told you to do. But I want you to know, when you're single-minded on the word of God, the single mind does not prepare for failure, neither does it have a plan B. Now, let's look at Job. Get ready to close this thing. Job 23, verse 11. Job 23, 11. I want you to be encouraged tonight. Praise God. God is doing great things. It's time to get back in the service. It's time to get back in church. Job 23, verse 11. He said, my foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. And here's the key to becoming single-minded. My God. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Listen. When you get to the place before I got to eat God's word, spend time in the word, even if I don't get, if I have to fast all day, I'm going to spend more time in the word than I am at the table. That's how you renew your mind. And notice you got to esteem it. It's got to become your priority. Huh? Obviously, it was not Mary's priority. She was cumbered and worried and occupied about chicken and about feeding her. Jesus just took two fish and five loaves and fed 5,000. Nobody told her she had to feed everybody. But that was not her priority. Mary's priority was, I'm single-minded. I'm going to sit right here. And everything I'm going through, my man of God, Jesus, is going to preach the answer. Pastor D is going to preach the answer. I'm not going to let the cares of this world choke the word. She was single-minded, and the devil couldn't take it from her. Why? She esteemed the words that were coming out of Jesus' mouth more than a necessary food. And notice the next statement. But he is of one mind. When you put that much emphasis and that much honor on the word of God, that's how you become single-minded. He says he's single-minded, and he says because he's of one mind, not two minds, a double-minded man can't receive anything. He said, who can turn him? When you make a decision to come out of debt, who can turn him? When you make a decision you're going to be ill, who can turn him? What his soul or mind desire, that he does. My God, when you begin to sting God's word and feed on the word of God, renew your mind with it, no one can turn you around. No one can bring you back in debt. No one can take you back to Egypt. Are you listening to me? You've got to make a decision. I've esteemed. How much honor do you give God's word? How much time this week have you spent in the word of God? How much time today? Huh? Or is it you just wait on me to preach and teach and stream and come on Sunday morning? God told you, like he told you, meditate in the word day and night. Esteem it. All of a sudden it begin to stick. If you get in the word will get in you. You get in the word will get in you. And it begin to change how you think. And your mind will become one with God. He said, he's a one mind. Can't nobody turn this man around. I remember when I decided to come out of the world and I decided I'm going to preach to God. Can't no devil in hell, couldn't no sickness, no one could turn me because I was single-minded on the word of God. And where the mind go, the man will follow. Look here. This statement, a single-minded man then cannot be turned around. His focus is God's word alone. Single-minded man cannot be turned around. His focus is God's word alone. You can't turn him. Once he decides, make a decision, he's going to rise and be healed. You can't turn him. Sickness can't hold him. Once you make a decision, you're going to come out of debt. He began to sow seeds. Poverty can't hold him. He's single-minded. If the devil can't get to his mind, he can't touch his life. Because where the mind go, the man, and where the mind go, the man will follow. Hallelujah. That's why it's so important that your mind be renewed by the word of God. Look at David, Psalms 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Not 35,000 things. See, so people are so scatterbrained. And it's not that I'm not trying to tell you to be so earthly minded. Heavenly minded, you know, earthly good. But I'm trying to say your focus probably got to be the word. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of his temple to inquire. And it's that one thing. David was single-minded. That's why Goliath, that's why Saul, that's why none of his enemies could conquer him. He was single-minded on the word of God. Huh? When that giant came, amen, and he was, I'm talking about 10, 11 feet, all that armor on, praise God, Goliath. David said, you come against me in the name of your God, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. You're no different than the lion and the bear. Uh-huh. Big boy, you're going down. You uncircumcised. You ain't got no covenant with God. And released that rock, and it sunk in his head. And that boy went down, and he cut off his head. He's single-minded. He didn't prepare for failure. Why? He couldn't get fear in him. Amen. Let's close with this last statement here. You must then take control of your mind and make every opposing thought submit to God's word. Take control of your mind, because that's where the battlefield is going to be, in your mind. Devil know if he's going to get you off a hill, if he's going to get you out of church, he's going to mess with your mind, get you offended, get you in depression. If he can't control your mind, he can't control you. That's where the battlefield is going to be, right here. This is where people are losing the battlefield. It's not out on the war field where there's tanks and guns and ammunition. It's the 6 inches between your ears. It's in your head. When the enemy be trying to build strongholds and tell you you can't be healed and you can't make it. And God's just waiting on you. Remember, I want to close with this. The Lord is in the valley of the shade. He's right there with you. He's waiting on you to decree a thing. Get up of your mouth and arise, and God will begin to move. So you must take control of every opposing thought and submit and make it submit to God's word. 2 Corinthians 10:5, and we'll close with this. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against what you know about God. I know him healed. I know he'll meet my need. Satan will challenge that in your head and try to get you to get on what God. He'll try to get you to second guess God. It started in the Garden of Eden. God told Adam, the day that you eat of that fruit, you should surely die. The devil come in there with an opposing thought. You won't surely die. You'll be a lie. God spoke and said, Jesus, this is my beloved son whom I well please. Tied the neck. He hadn't got up off the mountain good. If you be the son of God, he will always challenge what God says with a lie. And you have to cast down that lie and say, I'm going to let my mind hold to the word of God. And every bringing into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Glory be to God. Every thought God wants you. You can control your thought life. You must become a custodian over your own thought life. Because the enemy is going to try to get you. He don't want you to make a decision. Well, that ain't for you. Well, just stay offended. Just stay hurt. Stay broken. Now pick yourself up and cast those thoughts down that's trying to exalt itself. And build stronghold in your thinking. And you bring your thinking in line with the word of God. And you will find, praise God, every deliverance started with a new thought. Every deliverance started with the prodigal son. He decided. And no devil in hell. Decide, decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. So we love you tonight. We appreciate you. Praise God. We trust this message has been a blessing. Remember, join the YouTube channel, subscribe to it, tell others about what God is doing. Amen. You know how to tell us and pray, tell people to go online and praise God, www.wordlife.tv, the YouTube channel. And we love you. We look forward to seeing you here live Sunday. Until Then, this is Pastor Diggs, praise God, let you know me and George pray for you as you continue to pray for us.